Turning to book the Bible today to the book of James, New Testament, near the end, you'll find it small book, but it's a very important book overall. James is a powerful writing. Paul overrode so many of his epistles on top of it, and it's so small, it never got really the credit that it seemed like it should be getting. But in spite of that, James is still in the Bible, and we're going to talk about it today, okay? There's something about the Word of God that's so powerful. No book that's ever been written by anybody in any library in the world has the power the Bible has. I have a pretty good sized library myself, but nothing's like the Bible. Nothing. Why don't you turn to the book of James, and I'm going to start reading in chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Greetings. Now, he has patience in this temptation that he's going to be talking to them about, but he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that their trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, now get this, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Oh, glory to God. Do you realize that if you ask wisdom about anything, God says, I got an answer for you. I've got the answer for that. This is preparation for opposition. So many people face opposition, they try to win it themselves. They try to have a one-man battle. You cannot win over opposition by yourself. The enemy will overtake you. He'll undermine you. He'll hit you in ways that you've never been hit before. And we don't realize it, but God says, I've got the answer. He calls some of them trials. We're going through a trial. But when you consider the joy and you consider the brotherhood of Jesus Christ, we face so many different kinds of trials in life. You got to develop some kind of preservation to persist. You grow and you mature by winning. It's not by laying down and just surrendering. It's not by lack, but seek wisdom. The Bible tells us very clearly that if he lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who giveth generously to all without finding fault. It will be given to you in a way that you're going to say, wow, look what the Lord has done. When we ask him, we ask to believe, not doubt. We don't live in the doubt area. We don't live in the doubt part of town. We don't live in unbelief. Doubt is like a wave of the sea, and it blows in on you, tosses you by the wind. Don't think you receive anything from the Lord, for he is not double-minded. He's not a double-minded person. He's not unstable in all of his ways. These are days we must be about our Father's business. Paul had a gift and a determination. His assignment was spread out over the New Testament. Think about Paul's writings. He didn't write one, two, or three, but he wrote over a dozen of them. These epistles are our lifeline. They're the things we live with. Many of you probably know this already, but do you know that James was the half-brother of Jesus? Think about that. He was younger than Jesus. His older brother was Jesus. Boy, you know, that must have been, he must have been really under being schooled all the time, because he was watching the perfect one, the Son of Man. He was watching Jesus grow and mature in knowledge and revelation, making decisions that were far beyond his age. No, I'll stay in the temple and talk with the priests. I'll talk with the wisdom and knowledge of those who are in their late life. And here's James. That's my brother. What's he doing in there? What's he talking to those guys for? Can you imagine sharing a bedroom with Jesus, hearing how Jesus operated with love? His eyes were filled with kindness, and when the people looked into his eyes, they just melted down. He had a ray of embracing. He had a way of just laying his hand on something, and it manifested the desires of their heart. I had two older brothers, and it was just the opposite. I was the punching bag. They would chase me down. Whatever I had and they wanted, they took it. We used to buy, remember when Coca-Colas were real small? Well, we would get one Coke. My oldest brother took the first. My second brother took the. They handed me almost an empty bottle. Here, take that in store when you get done. Nothing left. One bicycle, three boys. Who do you think got to ride it? I walked most of the places I went because the bicycle was being used. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? James, the brother of Jesus, half-brother, raised in the same family, the same house, had to learn how to adjust himself to being around the deity, the Son of God. I'm convinced that many people are living with godly people, spirit-filled people, and they try to ignore the anointing that's on their life. Someone in your family is spirit-filled. Someone is anointed. You have a responsibility to walk in the light of power and sharing and forgiveness. And you have to be above that level of just back and forth arguing and fighting back and forth. Once you announce, "I've got the Holy Ghost," once people find out you speak in tongues, you have a greater responsibility to live up to that level. Can I hear an amen? Many Christians want to play the same old role before they got saved. After they get saved, they want to act like they're not saved sometimes when they're around unsaved people. Jesus was always Jesus. He never had another Superman outfit he put on when he was going to go out and be Jesus. But he was Jesus all the time. And James learned to live up to that level. He learned from his older brother. He learned how to walk in life and the thing is he was so powerful. Traditionally, we don't have a date of his birth or date of his death to be accurate. But what has been written about him? Prior to 62 AD, James was quite a man. He had learned from Jesus so many spiritual lessons. Spiritual lessons. I'm going to cover a few of them today. Things that James wrote in his short little book about who he was and what he was all about. In our lives, we sometimes fail to put up the gospel truth. We're not even sure when James died. He left as kind of an unnoticed person, but he pointed out so many important things. Let's look at verse 9. I just want to start there in verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exact and exalted, but the rich in that he is made low because of the flower of the grass, he shall pass away, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but with the grass and the flowers withereth and falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perished. So also shall the rich man fade away in his own way. You know, we're seeing this in a way that today we have multi-billionaires heading these high-tech corporations, and the arrogance that they bring when they come before the Supreme Court or the justice people, the panels that want to interview them, the Senate or the House. Any group they get in front of, two or three of them get together, and because they're multi-billionaires, they think they can tell people whatever they think the short of it and just laugh it off and go their way. You have no idea the power of their platform. You have no idea of how strong they really are. You're a little person in their eyesight, but they have the power in their company to shut you off and shut you down because of something you might have said that you put on their list or their Do you realize we're overtaken by people that are powerful people, even in the governments? We have governors who should no more be in office than this pulpit. Let me just name one. Can I just name one? He's just north of us in New York. Do I hear any amens? The most arrogant person that we see on television, his mug is over, and he has overexposed himself to show who he really is. Most of the governors have gotten themselves lifted so highly that they think so much of themselves that they look down upon the people who they're providing for. The governor of New Jersey is ridiculous. What I'm saying here is that you've got to realize, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Be a doer. Carry out the knowledge of God's word in your life. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That would be a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetting what matters of man, he was forgetting what kind of man he really is. I think people can do that. They can really get beyond themselves, where they think more highly of themselves than they really are. And this goes for all mankind. I'm not just picking on men. This is mankind. But in verse 25, it said, but so whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and contenteth therein, he began not a forgetful hearing, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deeds. So you just can't hear this gospel. You got to go out and do it. You got to act it out. You got to live it. You got to be a giver. You got to be a receiver where you can help and minister to people and individuals. Verse 25 is one of the most powerful verses in this book. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Folks, we can be blessed. We can be blessed by being a doer. Doer. Being a doer. This starts with little things in your home. Starts with treating your family above yourself. I was getting ready to leave the house this morning, and I was ready to go. I picked up my briefcase, and I heard a voice said, would you make me a cup of coffee before you go? My wife. I said, sure. I didn't want to. I mean, it wasn't I didn't want to. I was already doing something else. See, once you start doing something else, you don't want to stop that to do this. And there's something about how these things come in at a time, right when you have to make a decision. Am I going to handle this, or am I going to blow it off? So I put my bag down, went over to the coffee machine. Well, bad news. It's empty, and there's no coffee left. It's going to take me a couple minutes, dear. I got to fix this coffee. Boy, I had to really pull that one up. I mean, that was hard to get out. So I went into my mode, you know, of getting it filled up and doing this, doing that, doing that. First thing you know, it's perked, and I said, I think we're almost ready. She said, oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. Put a little cream in it. Carried it around. She was on the couch. I give it to her. She says, well, thank you. And I said, well, look, I got to go. And so she's, all right, well, thank you. She's thanking me all the way out the door, you know. I could have said, look, I don't have time to do that right now. I got my mind on something else. I'm focused on this. See, I get focused on something, and I get focused on it, I don't want to get diverted. I don't want to get changed. It's not that I don't remember, it's just I'm focused. I'm focused on this. But I went back and made that cup of coffee for her. I'm glad I did. Because I didn't lose my focus, I just had to readjust my focus. I put a lot of stuff in my briefcase. I didn't know if I had everything or more than I needed. I said, I'm going to take everything that way, I'll have everything. She gave me a note. Would you read this in church for the people of Car? I just read it. Betty, why do you give me all these little jobs? I don't want you to do it. I'll do it. When you're uptown, would you stop by the cleaners and the post office and the drugstore, and could you go by and pick up those little things I like, those little, I said, well, I don't know what the little things you like are. You got to be more, give me more information. You got to write it down and tell me what it is. you know what I mean, that those lemon things, the little lemon. I said, no, I'm not clear yet. She said, well, think about it. I said, I'm thinking. So she had one on her desk. It's a little bottle of lemon juice. You put that in with something that makes like lemonade, but it's just for lemon. I said, well, where do you buy this? Walmart. You mean I got to go to Walmart? She said, yeah, that's okay. So I'm out in the afternoon, and I'm just doing chores now. I mean, you know, like, and unfortunately, I got to the cleaners. It was my shirts. I'm picking up my shirts that she said, you got to have by Sunday. Well, I didn't have to have them, but I do have them. I pick up my shirts. Then I start, you know, my little rounds, going to the post office and here. And by the way, the bank was one of those places to stop to. So I stopped at the bank and, you know, mask up. I mean, it's not like yesterday. This is a different day. I come in and she said, did you take the trash out? Not yet, but I'm going to. Well, you ought to do it before you leave, because on Wednesdays, when you come in from Wednesday night Bible study, it's dark and you may not be able to see everything. You may forget it. You may not do it. Why don't you do it now? Okay, I'll do it now. It's like when she wants it done when? Now. I'm focused on something else. I'm thinking about something else. I'm working on something else. But James says it here, if you want to be blessed, you want to get these four verses because they're very critical. This is in chapter 1, verses 22, 23, 24. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, you're deceiving yourself if you do that. It's nobody else. You're yourself. I got kicked out of a dollar store the other day because I didn't have a mask. And the lady was very nice. She said, she called me Dad. She said, Dad, could you step outside and get a mask for your coverage? I said, oh, yeah, I forgot about it. I forgot to put the mask on. So I said, well, I don't think I'm going back in now. I'll show them I'm not going to buy anything anyhow. So I got in the car and left. I wasn't mad. I just seemed to, what are you picking on me for? I know you've had to feel that somewhere. Somebody said something to you that had to put you down a little bit. And so here's what it says. Be not only a hearer, but be a doer. Now, I didn't rail back at the lady. I said, well, thank you. I forgot it. You know, I was a very nice doer. And I walked out of the store, but I didn't go back. For if any be hearers only of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding himself in a face in a glass. And they should have put mirror there if that was available at that time. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway, for he getteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, a doer of the work, this shall be a blessed in his deed. You'll be blessed in his deed. Glory to God. This man shall be blessed in his deed. You want to be blessed? Obey the Spirit of God. Obey the anointing. Obey the part of your life when you know something's right. Don't make a scene. Don't make an overcome of it. Don't act like you're going nuts in somebody's store. I've heard them already do it. Flipping out to a cash register or somebody, trying to get out and say something ugly to somebody about. That's not the way a Christian acts. We're more than conquerors. True faith is impartial. In chapter 2 in James, my brethren, have you not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, which respects a person's? For if there come unto you assembly a man with a gold ring and a goodly apparel, and there comes in also a poor man in vile raiment. Now this is a story of the rich and the poor. For whence come wars? I lost my place. Yeah, I got it here. There you go. Boy, that's thin paper, isn't it? Okay. And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. I think that should be changed. Can you do something about that, Natalie, or not? Yeah, thank you. I'm gonna find fine clothing. and say unto him, sit there in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou where there sitteth under my footstool. Now the difference is how you see people and how you favor them. Those who look like they are wealthy, or those who have carried themselves like they're important, or they display a importance. Overall, we should treat everybody the same, and Christians favor them. How many times do I hold the door for somebody when I was much younger, and say, come on in, hold, and I hold the heavy door at the post office or the bank or somewhere, and they would say, well, thank you, sir, and I let the senior in. And now the people are opening the door for me and saying, come on in, sir. And I'm saying, oh, Jesus. That means that I have transposed myself into another level of receiving what I did for others years ago. I got people holding the door for me, even women. I'm thinking, do I look that old? Yeah. Why are they doing this? I've never had anybody offer to carry the box out to the car yet. I mean, we get a lot of box mail. I'm going to tell you, it's really shameful. We get stuff that's this big, and sometimes this big, and you got to come back and get one at a time, you know, because we get a lot of stuff by mail. But that's not important. The important thing is here. In verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, the rich in faith, and the heirs of the kingdom, which be promised to them that love him. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppose you and draw you before the judgment's seats? Do not let blasphemy the worthy name of that which ye are called. If you are full of the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if you respect two persons, ye command sin and are convinced at the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. Do you realize how powerful that is? We have to be so careful in the days that we live that we treat people with respect regardless. If you don't feel good, stay home. If you don't got an attitude today, stay home till you get rid of it. Go brush your teeth again. Do something that alters your life, changes your life. I suggest a prayer when you get in the car before you start the motor. Lord, give me guidance today. Let me help those that come my way. I have opportunity to share the good name of the Lord Jesus. Let me bless someone. Let me find those. And you know what? If you're just open to that, you can find somebody to bless. I can tell when the grandkids come around. They'll come over to the house. One of them will come up and sit next to me or something, you know. Hi, Poppy. And then, what have you been doing? And trying to, and I say, you going shopping? And I say, yeah. So Poppy does this. You know. I found a dollar in my briefcase this morning, an extra dollar. So, you know, I'll take out a little bit and give them a little money, and they'll say, oh, Poppy, I love you so much. I love you so much. I love you so much. Bam, they're gone. But it's normal. And if you say you haven't had that attack like that, you're not telling the truth. I mean, it's a setup. But I know it, and they know it, and we just prepare, so we laugh about it. Now, when they get a little older and they're still want to come and say, Poppy, maybe it's time to jerk the string a little bit, you know. But you can't resist it because you love them so much. You love the body of Christ. You love the people that's here. I couldn't tell you the things that's happened in my life that people have helped us. We bought this house over here about 35, 40 years ago, something like that now. And when the contractor built it, he didn't put a pull down for the attic, you know, one of those stairways things. So my wife gets an idea. Mr. McKelvey is a carpenter, and he does that kind of work. He knows how to do that. You say, why don't you ask him to do it? Put one in. I'm not going to ask him that. Why? I need that. I need to get up in that attic. I need that, she said. Well, she wouldn't come off of it. So I catch Mr. Ed. I said, Mr. Ed, you ever put a pulled-down attic ladder for a house? He said, oh, yeah, nothing to do with that. I said, well, if you get time sometime, I said, I'd like to buy one of those ladders and get you to put it in for me. This is 35, 40 years ago. He puts this thing in, and I'm going to say it took you half a day, maybe that much or more, half a day. Had it all done, walked out, said, look, let me pay you. No, I don't want nothing. He said, I don't want nothing. My wife climbed up that ladder, down that ladder, up that ladder, down that ladder. She said, perfect. She's been storing stuff up there now for 40 years. Up and down, up and I said, will you stay off that ladder? I said, don't go up the ladder. Don't tell me what to do. That's true. But the thing is, stuff comes down. She'll say, you catch this. When she throws it down, bam, I get in the face of a bag of ribbons or something, you know, and then another, and so they catch it right in the face. You know, will you quit throwing that stuff down like that? Slide it down the ladder, bam, right in the face. So when she says, I'm going to the attic, and I don't know what to expect. I'm going to get a guard from the baseball players, throw it in my face, you know. She says, catch this. She doesn't throw it here. She throws it here. But anyhow, I'm telling you something personal. That ladder is as safe today as it was 40 years ago. It's never moved. It's never collapsed. It's never wiggled. It doesn't zag. It doesn't zig. It just put it down. You step on it. She goes up the ladder. She said, I don't want you going up there. I know how you are. You'll step through the ceiling. I mean, that's confidence, right? Don't go up that ladder. Send one of the kids up there. Don't go up that ladder. Don't go up the ladder. I come up, and she's got stuff thrown in the floor. And I said, why don't you just leave this stuff down here? You put it up, and you don't tell me what to do. Has anybody ever heard that phrase? Been trying. But I'm a Christian. So I absorb it. I let it happen. Bam. 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 Haven't said anything yet. Bam. I'm getting tired of it. Oh, it don't sound like much. It's just a bag of ribbons. But it's annoying. James says it all. Look here, and this is so important. Look at verse 5 in chapter 2. Hearken, my brethren. He called us beloved brethren. Have not good chosen the poor of the world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom which hath promised to them that love him. But ye despise the poor, not the rich man, pressed you, draw you before the judgment seal. Oh, my friends, do you realize true faith is evident by words? True faith is evidenced by words. You got to realize that there's something in your life that's true, and we're overcomers. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that you shall receive the greatest commendations. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Do you get a knowledge of this? Now, in those days, horses were pretty popular. The Roman Empire had brought horses into that area, and the people knew how to respond to horses differently. When they come in on the rocks and things, they'd be very careful. They would slip and slide sometimes, and they would put grooves across there so when these horses come in, they wouldn't slide on the rocks and fall and things. But most people don't know how to ride a horse today. People said they rode mules. They didn't ride a mule, they just sat on it. That mule did what it wanted to do anyhow. When you're have the reins, you have a different setup because you got this. If you're just talking to a horse, you got to be one of those guys that can use their knees and their feet and can get the horse to do certain things. But as a child of God, our whole body submitted to Jesus. Our mind had been renewed. Our hands, our work, our speech, we are a complete different person. We're more than conquerors. We're overcomers. We're not just the same. We are those that are chosen of God to be like his son Jesus. I'm sure James learned a lot having Jesus for an older brother. He watched him. He watched him. He watched his temperament. He watched his growth factors. He watched how he shared, how he was willing to be a part of the team player. He was always willing to be part of the program. True faith in chapter 3 is a powerful thing. It's the evidence. Read chapter 3 yourself when you get home. It's the evidence of your words. Words carry more weight than we imagine. The attitude, the tone. The tone that you say something in can be completely screwed from one level to another level just by the way you say it. I don't know anybody that's perfect yet. Some are pretty good. But I find sometimes the less you say, the better off you are. Can I just say that? Keep your trap closed sometimes. Don't even make any remarks. If you have to walk away, just say, thank you, bless you, whatever. God will get you for that. You do that one more time. That's not how it works. You got to be able to control this. If you can't control your mouth, you're doomed already, because you'll say things that you'll regret and you can't pull them back. I mean, when you say something, it's out there. They've got things people have said now on tape and recording. Most everything people say today, if you're not careful, it's recorded somewhere. When they bring that back and play it, you don't want to hear it. Our society has got so bad that it's. I never thought we'd hear the language we hear on television, on the news. I'm talking about people that are news commentators. These are not the barroom brawlers. These are people bringing the news to you. You don't even want the kids in the room if the characters are carrying on. We must realize that we're living in a powerful time about our Father's business. There's true and false wisdom. I don't know how people fall for these telephone people. Call them in California and they're going to tell you your future. They're going to read your palms over the airways, and it only costs $3 a minute or something, you know. Anybody ever seen that advertised? Oh, come on now. Somebody's seen that. Well, act like you don't know what I'm talking about. It was on television for a couple of years. They took it off. It's back on again. I don't want them telling me what to do. I want Father God. Can you imagine living with Jesus? I mean, that must have been not just a lifetime experience, but can you imagine having him for an older brother? There is so many different kind of wisdoms that people call it. Let me quickly go on here because we got to get further on. In chapter 5, I'm going to start at verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it until he receives the earthly and latter rain. Now this is the church, folks. Do you look there waiting for us in heaven? The crowned glories, the saints of old, the called out apostles, they're waiting. They want to greet us they're so anxious to meet us. It's like when the ship pulls in from Europe and it's coming into New York Harbor and all the families there to receive them, and they've got flares and they're having a party, throwing things off the side of the boat, and they've just got ribbons going and bands are playing and they're excited. Do you know what heaven is getting ready? They're saying they're coming. They're nearing the shore. They're coming home. Church, we've got to get excited about our eternal destiny. Let us live in expectation. Today could be the day. Our next meal may be in heaven. We'll be walking not in the rain and the cold, but we'll be walking on the streets of glory singing, and glory to his name. We've got something to be excited about. We suppress it. We don't want to think about it too much. We don't talk about it too much. We don't allow people to get next to us and share the good news. In verse 8, be patient. Stand as your hearts. Once you establish something, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. Are we aware how close this is really is? Are we realizing we're living in the day that the Lord could come without violating any of the Bible prophecies at all? You say, well, this has got to happen, that's got to happen. Look, folks, I've studied for 50 years or more than 50 years. Prophecy is in the Bible, no question. We cannot even get a consensus, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. And that's only three. There's about five. Saved forever, saved until you turn on God. We can't even get an agreement on salvation. We can't get an agreement on water baptism. We can't get agreement on this. We can't get agreement on that. We don't agree on this. We absolutely are not going to believe that. I don't believe that at all. If you're talking about speaking in tongues, I don't believe that at all. The gifts of the Spirit, that was for the first generation. Who said that? Where's that at? Where's that in the Bible? Their excuses are not valid. And you can go right on down the line that the water baptism. It's a water baptism, and how can they make so much out of it? That they say, it has to be the day. Regardless, if you're not baptized today, this has to be the day. And they force it. If they got, they can put you in the bathtub. Then we got people that believe that, well, you never know what the Lord's going to do. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I just hope I make it. It's not on a hope so. We can know so by letting Jesus live in our hearts. By obedient to the command of God and surrender. Talk about the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, that was for back then. Tell me when it stopped. Tell me where it says it stopped. When I received the Pentecostal experience, my Baptist preacher told my parents and my oldest sister, who went to the church too, said, your brother needs psychiatric help. He needs to see a psychiatrist. Pastor. Well, I had an opportunity to meet with him before I left that church. I had to ask the Lord to forgive me. I knew what I had received, and he fought it to the end. And he didn't stay at that church, but maybe another 2-3 months. You cannot go against the Holy Spirit. You cannot then play the holy role of the Holy Spirit in the church today. It is a third member of the Trinity, and it is there for the purpose of helping the saints, empowering us, giving us wisdom and knowledge and revelation and everything we need to become success in what we're doing. We ought to be thankful for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. He's one of the most active members of the Trinity. He dwells and he moves. He's sharing with you all the time. Revelation, insight, what to do and what not to do, when to do it, when not to do it. The wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit is abounds. It abounds over and over. Patience is one of the things that we're suffering in the church. Some years ago, people were coming out of the driveway, and this other car wanted to get out faster than they did, and it's a single lane going out that way, but he made two lanes out of it. Hit the side of the guy's car that was sitting there parked at the entrance to pull out. He said, well, I didn't see you. Does that excuse him? Does that excuse him? No. It was really cute. The police was coming down, blocked the traffic up, and then they had right up this report. And right after church, everybody's out there seeing, look, anybody get hurt? Everybody has, rubbernecking, seeing what they could see and trying to find out what's going on. I was embarrassed. I called the police. Couldn't get out of here fast enough because they wanted to go to a restaurant or something. Patience of the saints has got to restrain themselves. You've got to look back and say, I'm not going to be the one that's going to violate the commandment here. I'm going to hold my peace. What good is it going to do? What good is it going to do for you to say, I'll give you a piece of my mind? If you keep doing that, you're going to come up mindless one of these days. Zipper it up and go on your way. Oh, it might hurt for a day or two, but you'll forget about it. It didn't hit you with no club or nothing. I know words are powerful. I've had enough of them said about me, but I never look back. I don't go back and rehash it. I don't talk about it. I say I don't talk about it. People got to go out and they start crying. I was at church and look what they did to me at church. Stop it. He said, be mature. This is James, the back brother of Jesus. He lived with Jesus. He had to watch everything he did. He said, can you imagine living with Jesus? Growing up that way? Sharing everything and being in the same household and supposed to be doing your part, and yeah, you're going to cheat on Jesus? Patience of the saints. It's going to take more patience as we get closer to the coming of the Lord. You have to be stronger, full of wisdom and knowledge and revelation. You know what to do. You already know what to do. Zipper it up and keep your mouth shut and mind your own business. Betty will ask me something. I said, no, I don't know about that. She said, well, you should. You should know about that. None of my business. It's none of my business. I know when to get involved. I used to counsel people, marriages and things. Did it for many years. About 10, 15 years ago, a couple over in Delaware, husband and wife were counselors, and they were paid for restoring marriages and things like that, and couples and things, and individuals. So I got to referring them to them over there. They're $100 an hour. I was free. You know, they would go over there and book three or four times in advance and get a month and a half in advance at $100 a clip, and I could already get them to come free. After they hear what the Bible says, I'm not doing that. Is that all you got? Yeah. So we're going to stay with the Word. Well, we'll go to this couple that live over in Delaware, the husband-wife team. And I thought about it. They must be telling them what they want to hear. I want you to read James in a way that it's going to bless you and put something in your hearts. Read it slowly. There's only a few chapters, and just take a chapter at a time, and you got to read it twice. Spend two or three days on it. Mark it out. Mark out the things that impress you. You're going to find out that prayer and confession, those things are very important. Prayer. Whoever stopped the prayer meetings at church? I don't know. We never stopped them. Most people think you don't have prayer meetings no more. Well, we do. If they stopped it, you stopped. You choose something that you want to do. You pick and choose you're going to do for God. Does it work like that? We go by the blood of Jesus. So I want to close with a prayer today. This prayer is a prayer of faith and love, confidence. We're going to, as you see the day approaching, you're going to have some more decisions to make that are going to be very difficult. But you can do it in Jesus.